welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Well, broads, I mean, is this a long time coming or is this a long time coming?
It's a pretty long time coming.
This episode is a long
time. It's like a year overdue. Coming. So pretend that we released this in 2019.
Yeah. I mean, this is the Mike Johnson conversation. Like, I can't believe it's finally here and Mike is free. He can speak to us. I mean, wow. I think he can talk about anything. Like, we'll see, you know? But in the meantime, I want to say this before we get it. I feel like now we have to timestamp when we're recording episodes because there is so much Bachelor drama hitting miles an hour.
I know.
That who knows what happens.
So no, seriously.
We're recording this on Saturday.
August 8th, 9:20 a.m.
And it's really getting released on Thursday a few days later. So at this point, who knows? So if we're
very speaking
much
from the past right now.
We're coming
give
at
us
you
grace
from the
if
past.
We don't know the future yet.
I know. I mean, at this point, like, who knows what will have happened? And we're just all kind of like having this nice chat, and like the Bachelor world might be burning at this point. We're just like, Mike, how's it going?
Seriously.
We have no idea that, you know, at this point, there's 75 cast members.
You are engaged to Claire.
Mike is engaged to Claire. You heard it here first.
Wow. Okay, I have to tell you about something I've been thinking a lot about the past 24 hours that's not Mike related at all.
Oh my
all.
God, tell me.
Well, don't like all podcasts release their own liquor lines?
I mean, I feel like that's definitely been happening. Yeah.
I want to do that.
Okay, that's it. I'm sold.
Get this. Listen to the names I came up with.
Oh my God.
I've just been waiting to talk about this. We have a wine line called Chateau Chatty.
It's so classy.
Home run. And then we have Brodka Vodka. I don't even know if we should be releasing this in the podcast.
I mean, consider this trademarked already. And if you try
I'm filing it right
we're
now.
We're calling our lawyers as we speak. Okay, we're going on speed dial after, so don't even try to take it.
Does
oh
she love
my
that?
God.
I mean, yes. I'm not pregnant anymore, so now we can go full swing
we're
into
going
alcohol
full.
Sales.
Becca goes from being pregnant for 2 years, and now it's all about booze, baby. It's all about booze.
You can rep the Chateau Chatty because okay. You're a wine queen, and I'll do the Brodka Vodka since you can't drink hard alcohol.
Can I tell you something? I don't know what happened to my body. I don't know what happened, but over the quarantine, I had a drink.
Don't lie to me. You've been slowly like dosing yourself. Like you started out with like one like half an ounce every morning. Then
every
you're doing
morning,
like
I mix
a dropper
it up my coffee. I'm just like, all right, we're gonna do whiskey this month. We're gonna do vodka. But I had a drink, and it was Evan had like a screwdriver.
Yeah,
and I was drinking, and all of a sudden I was like, I'm like, I'm just going to try it. Okay. We're stuck in the house. What else is there to do? If I get sick, I get sick. I was fine. And I was like, and I'm not going to try it with any other alcohols because it was all the other ones that I got sick. And then I never really dove into vodka because all the other ones made me ill that I was like, no, I don't even want to try. And now granted, it's not like I've had a slamming night filled with vodka, but I can have one glass so I can get behind the Brodka no problem.
I love it.
It's so good, Becca.
Thank you.
It's so good. We definitely need an alcohol line at this point for sure.
I agree. I mean, we won't be able to be doing a live show tour anytime soon.
That's true.
Unless we want to do the drive-in movie theater thing.
I think it's cool. Those are so great. But I just had this image of us like, we're like, let's go to the most famous drive-in theater. Like, I don't know where it is, but I'm like, Kansas. And you and I show up and there's nobody there. And we're like, there's one car that
pulls
up. There's
a sheep.
We're just flashing their lights. And we're like, hello there.
You know what I was also thinking? If we do go on tour, I've been really dreaming for the future.
I'm loving this.
The past
whatever manifestation is happening, I'm very much into this.
Actually, I don't know what the stars are like this week, but it has been, I've been moving and grooving this past week.
Becca, I think we're on a very similar wavelength right now.
Really?
Because I've had like 100 business ideas. Now,
Now, yeah, what, me too.
What's this business star energy that's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I sat down and I was like banging out. I was getting my kids insurance. I was doing all the stuff that I hate doing, you know?
I mean, well, blessings, that wasn't happening on my end. But business ideas. I have this business idea that has to do with, I guess it could be a reality TV show, but it started off as a business idea. Mm-hmm. I was like, I feel so bad for these poor college kids who it's like their first year in college and they were so excited to party and have fun and get out of their parents' house and go to their fraternities and sororities and whatever. And now they're just by themselves. And I'm like, what if you came up with like a basically a almost dating service that are like quarantine houses? I was thinking of like the Quarantine Crew, where you have, you basically live the real world for 2 weeks, where you put in your submissions, all different people of like the same age bracket.
Yeah. And you have like a counselor, RNs on staff.
Right. And like matchmakers kind of put 8 people together who don't know each other. They get COVID tested and then they get quarantined up together for 2 weeks and they have like a 2 week experience where they're not allowed to leave the house, but they get sent things like truth or dare. And
how much would
sent
this cost? This is a good idea. We can make a lot of money.
Right. I feel, and then you have these little homes like all over and it's safe. And everyone starts by they get their COVID test right there because there's COVID testing now that you can do that. It's a very rapid turnaround. And also STI testing before. Everyone's clean.
Nice.
Everyone's getting in there clean and then they get their 2 week. And I feel like this experience, it would feel like you're on a reality TV show because you're walking in with 7 other strangers. I feel like maybe you could have a...
What if there were cameras around and then this is part of the experience you can also pay for, where someone edits and does like a reel of your 2 week experience?
So absolutely. And then if MTV wants to pick it up, because I think that I miss watching The Real World, but that's a very large commitment.
Seriously, I feel like VH1 or something should do like Quarantine House. Like,
right. And you could do one episode would be a house.
I mean, I guess that's like Big Brother too.
But like the quick, it's not, you're not focused on the same 8 people for like 3 months. One episode, 1 hour is one house.
And
just pack 2 weeks worth of drama.
I love that. You want to hear my idea too?
Yes, I do.
I have another one. This is for a dating app. Remember Chat Roulette?
Yes. Okay, are you kidding me? It was the best.
Until it got just filled with dicks.
Sure.
You know?
It still was kind of fun sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Screaming with your friends.
Oh, yeah. I remember one of my friends, she'd be like, cover your eyes, ladies. Like, I'm going to be the clicker clicking through.
Shout out to you.
She would seriously be like, she'd be manning the clicker. Next, dick. Okay, a person.
Oh my God.
And it'd be like some guy in like Czechoslovakia, just like looking all gross and weird. We're like, hi, 13-year-old girls. So my idea is it'd be like that, but a dating app. And how it works is it's actually like video. So I was listening to my friend talk about what it's like FaceTime dating in quarantine, I'd actually like just like to have people call in and talk about what their dating experiences have been.
Yeah, that would be a great episode. That'd be interesting.
But she was like, I actually like the first FaceTime date. Like, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So my idea was, with the app, you have like, it's basically like Tinder, where you can swipe left or right. Track with me. You FaceTime someone, it'll put you on with someone for 60 seconds, and maybe even like a question will pop up on the screen. And then you guys chat for 60 seconds. At some point during that 60 seconds, you have to swipe either left or right. And you don't know what the other person will do until later. If you match up, it means both of you guys have swiped right and you guys both want to chat more later. So it's like a speed dating. It'll put you on to the next person for another minute.
I feel like, do we need to edit all this out? This is gold. This is gold that you're just putting out there before we have any trademarks on this shit. That is such a good idea.
I know. Wouldn't it be so fun?
It would be so fun. Like, I want to do it right now.
I know.
Right now.
I know. And then like, if you guys both swipe right, then later, you know, you get to match up and be like, oh my God, we were both feeling it. We were both vibing on each other.
Oh
like,
my God, that's such a good
idea. And
it's
better than dating profiles, because guys can't really take good photos of themselves. And sometimes our people are weird over text, but you could really get a vibe. Just 1 minute.
And it's like, it's so person to person. Some people like not being able to see and like just text. But for me, I'm like, I can't get a vibe of you off of, I mean, you can pick up a certain energy, but I want to have a real conversation.
Plus, imagine like a speed dating question popping up on the screen and
be
like,
it's a great icebreaker.
Like, what would your last meal be? You know? And then you guys spend the minute, and then the minute's over, and then next person.
I love it. It's so good.
thanks.
Well, I mean, I feel like we're just throwing gold out here, but
this is business with the Broads Hour.
This is the season to literally be stuck inside for 5 months, and now all of a sudden these ideas are flowing. What's happening? Boom, 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 boom.
But on a very other note, I'm so excited to be talking to Mike in a minute.
I am so excited, Broads. We are going to chat with Mike Johnson. It's been a long time coming, and I can't wait to talk with him about some Hannah season stuff. I know it's been a long time,
but it really has.
But it really has. And there are so many questions that we had that I feel like Mike's gonna shoot straight and give us the answers.
Well, there's also been a lot of like news about Hannah too in the past few months.
Yes,
that Mike was also kind of involved in.
That's very true.
There's a lot to talk about.
Well, before we talk to Mike, let's take a quick pause because not only are we the queen of ideas right now.
I
personally am the queen of getting hyped for an online workout and then doing it for all of 3 classes before I completely lose interest for one reason.
Sounds or another. About right.
3, that's typically my number. But Broads, I have found it. It is the grand slam of home workouts that keeps me interested, sore, and coming back for more. And that is Fight Camp. Fight Camp combines a full body workout with cardio strength training and conditioning. It's basically a boxing gym in your living room.
And just to be clear, just means that literally.
Yes.
Fight Camp comes with all the gear you need, like a freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves, hand wraps. You're like Rocky Balboa, basically. And their unique punch tracking sensors that show you your real-time progress and stats. So if you're thinking that sounds a little intense, it is, but it's nothing to be scared of. Their 12-week starter program teaches you all the fundamentals while still giving you a killer workout.
It is intense, and you feel like the biggest badass of all time. Like, it's just everything that I needed with my psyche. And I never thought I'd be so in love with boxing, but it is so fun and also not a bad way to get some of this tension out that you might have pent up inside of you over the past 6 months. And with Fight Camp, you'll have access to over 400 different workouts for all different fitness levels and skills. And the family also can be part of it too. That's such a fun thing that they have. They have equipment for your little ones. And let me tell you, nothing cuter, first of all, than seeing your little one box, but also so much energy that they can get out when they're stuck inside.
Well, if you're ready to give boxing a try, Fight Camp offers flexible financing for as low as 0% APR. And right now, as a limited time offer, you can try Fight Camp for 30 days with their money back guarantee. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/chatty. That's right. You can try Fight Camp for 30 days. And if you don't love it, they'll refund all your money. Train like a fighter and turn your sweat into results. Try Fight Camp for 30 days. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/chatty. Joinfightcamp.com/chatty.
Well, Broads, I can admit one thing. Other than, you know, getting my Fight Camp on, something that I'm always a sucker for is that glass of wine or that occasional cocktail. I can pretty much always find a reason to celebrate with a bottle of rosé. But nothing kills the celebration more than waking up with a hangover. Yay. No, it's the worst. If you've ever had a hangover from hell, then you know that it's hard to enjoy a drink knowing you might wake up tomorrow feeling like whatever the opposite of $1 million is. But DHM Detox is now a mandatory part of any night out or in, because I know it will have me waking up refreshed and ready to go, whether I have one drink or a couple drinks. DHM Detox is the vitamin you need in your bag. It uses science to help boost your body's natural response to alcohol and help break down those pesky toxins so you won't wake up with that nausea or that brain fog or the anxiety, because who has time for that? It's the worst. DHM Detox is made up of all natural ingredients and antioxidants and vitamins. And all you need to do is take 2 capsules after your first couple of drinks, and DHM Detox gets to work, making sure you wake up feeling great. I mean, the worst feeling for me after a few drinks is waking up and feeling really puffy, very puffy. And that's just a screaming red flag to me that my body is not happy with my decisions. But DHM Detox is full of natural ingredients that fight inflammation and help flush out those toxins, meaning your girl hasn't been waking up with puffy hands and feet after a night of having some drinks. So how important is your next day? For just a couple dollars, you can wake up feeling fine after drinking. Also, there's free shipping on all U.S. orders. DHM Detox is a risk-free purchase, so if you aren't satisfied after taking the product, they'll give you your money back. This is a no-brainer. We've got you 20% off your order. Just head over to dhmdetox.com and use code chatty at checkout. Again, that's dhmdetox.com and use code chatty at checkout for 20% off your order. dhmdetox.com, code chatty at checkout.
Oh my God.
Welcome.
Is this happening right now, Mike Johnson?
We are finally here. Finally, finally, finally.
I feel like the broads probably don't know fully everything, like the time, the laborious efforts to get.
But they have been. Here. It's just been the constant. It's just the request. Any single time that we say, hey, what guest do you want? And we put a little bubble up. I mean, it's 99% Mike Johnson. I'm like, we need to talk to him too.
And we're like, well, he hasn't been allowed to come on. So
we're out of contract. We are here now. We can do whatever.
Wait, I got to ask. So like what did you ask? And they were just like, hard no, you can't go on Chatty Broads.
I just asked and I got a sweet reply back. I'll say it like that.
That's you know, it's been we try with our favorites. We're like, you know what, we're gonna try anyways, and we'll keep trying, and maybe one day they'll say yes, but if not, we're happy to wait until you're off contract, because it's all worth it.
I wanted to be here with you, Chatty Broad. Definitely. Oh.
Speaking, so what have you been doing the past few months? What have you been up to?
Just listen to y'all's podcast and just, you know, hanging out here on the couch.
Pretty much just listening to the Chatty Broads podcast,
just on a loop.
Keep that part right there. You know, we're going to use that soundbite. No, I've been trying not to get sick, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've like become a hermit crab. When I go outside now, I'm like, whoa, this is 2020. This is like The Walking Dead. It's kind of crazy, so.
It has been, I can't believe it's August already. I was just thinking about this. Like the year has gone by so fast and so slow at the same time. And so much has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like back when we were in school, it's like a school year. Like it goes by so slow. But then as you go through it, it's like, damn, we did that.
Oh yeah.
It's so true. How it feels to me,
right? People say about exactly having kids, people say like the days are long and the years are short. And that like couldn't describe this year anymore, I think.
Yes.
Days are long and the years are short. I'm going to steal that. Is it okay?
Oh, yeah. I say it all the time. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the kids. How are the kids?
I mean, we both are like,
No, I mean, I'll answer first. Ruth is like, my daughter's at such a fun age right now. Like, she's talking, having a personality. Like, she's super fun to be around. And also, she's not old enough. Like, she doesn't care about being trapped inside with us all the time. She thinks it's like the best thing ever. This is like the best year of her life. Like, her mom and dad are home and we just get to hang with her and play in the backyard with her all day. So she loves it. Franklin's almost 2 months old and he's just starting to be like a person. Like, they're for the first couple months, they're just like alien newborns and they barely wake up and their little hands are all weird. And then, like, they start to kind of emerge and, like, open their eyes and, like, look around and smile. And it's sort of like they're, I feel like they're, like, actually born at, like, 8 weeks. It's like when they actually see the world. So anyway, everything's been good with them. What about Ember?
You know, Ember is almost five. And so being inside has been a challenge for this little one. She's also full of energy.
Does she know that Chuck E. Cheese is closed forever?
We actually had to have that.
I know. Whoa.
Yeah.
You'd rather break my heart.
I know.
Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese is closed forever.
Forever.
Mike.
They went bankrupt or something?
It appears so. But also, you know, there was a lot of drama around Chuck E. Cheese when there was that whole Shane Dawson piece where he said that, you know, they recycle their pizza. And then.
That's nasty.
Apparently, during once quarantine started, they put out that, you know, they were on DoorDash and Postmates and nobody was buying their pizza, so they changed the name and called it like Pasquale's. And
are
they
you
got
serious?
What?
They were just some shady shit.
Wait,
Chuck E. Cheese,
wait, are you serious?
But that's, you know, so what?
I'm like, I mean, that's smart.
Listen, the rat is out there hustling. He is hustling.
So people were buying it then.
Yeah, people were buying it. You know why?
Like, seriously, though, let's think about why. Who the hell said, you know what? a rat should be our mascot.
Oh, I know.
In a restaurant, a children's restaurant.
Who the hell decided that one?
It's like, disgusting.
It was a bad call.
But also, like, I imagine they saw no opening date in sight. Like, you're going to be getting together dozens of, like, grimy little children to put their hands all over games and stuff, like, in COVID times.
Yeah, it's a COVID trap, for sure.
So, yeah. So you had the conversation about her?
Yeah, we did have the conversation because we drove by the now empty building. And she was like, it's Chuck E. Cheese. And I was just like, Ember. I was, like, sitting her down telling her that, like, her father had passed away. I was like, just so you know. Chuck E. Cheese is no longer open, and we had to process through it. She was somewhat devastated. We held hands, we cried together. I'm like, Mama said too, baby.
Guess we're gonna have to move on to Dave and Buster's.
I know, but you know what? It's just like she's just aging before my eyes. I'm like, here, kid, take this pina colada. Let's play these adult games.
You need just as much as I do, babe. Here you go.
My nanny kids used to beg me to take them to Dave and Buster's. And I was like, no.
Like, that feels adult.
I'm not going to do that.
Speaking of Chuck E. Cheese, because that was when we initially started the podcast, I said that would be my meal on death row. Mike, we have to start this by asking you, what would be you're in prison. It's done. What is your death row meal?
Oh, man. I'm in prison. It's done.
First of all, what would you be on death row for, if you can imagine? Is that dark?
I can honestly say I've never been asked this question before. What would you be on death row for?
I would probably
be on death row for, like, can I say fucking somebody up? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be on death row for fucking somebody up that I love. Aww. Like, it would be a moment of passion to defend the person I love.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll be on death row for. If you're going to be on death row, like,
yeah, what do you have somebody, to do to get there?
Like, if somebody shoots my mom in the leg and I got a gun on me, I'm a cap there.
Yeah. You know? So. Well, honestly, I don't think, I would hope that the jury would be like, look at him.
Yeah, it would be, that's a much more honorable reason. I'd probably be on for arson. Lifelong arson.
Embezzlement.
Arson. Can you be on death row for arson?
Just, I don't know, but like maybe lifelong
arson.
Do you
like fire?
Like she catches everything on fire. I don't know, I just always felt like it would kind of be like a
lifelong
niche.
Arson.
I think it would be fun. Imagine starting a fire and watching just a whole empty building, not building with people in it, watch a whole empty building just go up in flames.
We're starting something here.
Now,
so
hey, kids watching this, do not blow up empty buildings.
Matches are fun.
Was that Derek commercial? Don't burn up a forest fire or something?
Smokey.
Yeah, Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, Smokey the Bear.
You know what I was thinking last night, talking about like going to jail? I don't know if this will happen, but I really want to buy like 100 water guns, put in a barrel, and then go like to a public park area to where everyone's at, like a farmer's market or something. And like me and my friends have water guns and we just start having like a water gun fight. And then people that are there hanging out with their families pick up the water guns and everyone joins in.
That's so cute.
It's like a huge...
That's such a fun idea.
I would have my artisan bread and you'd be spraying me and I'd be like, ah!
This is freshly baked!
Stop it! I'd be freaking out. That'd be so fun.
That is such a fun idea.
Actually, like, you could also organize, you could probably do like a Facebook event and have it be at a park, like bring your water gun. And I bet a bunch of people would show up to that when the beginning.
Yeah, I really want. I might do that for my birthday one.
You should. I love that.
It's like a flash. It's a flash mob, but with
yes.
It's a splash mob.
This is.
Oh my God.
Da, 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 da. I need the effects to like get that for you.
Like, where are my drums?
That's my
wow. Oh, that's really good.
Thanks.
Mike Johnson's splash next mob. Birthday, splash mob.
I bet a lot of broads would come out for that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so last meal.
Oh, yeah, last meal. It'll probably just be some soul food, some cornbread, some collard greens, some mac and cheese shells.
Mac and cheese, 100%. I was saying this the other day.
Yeah, it'll be something like that. Some soul food.
Mm. What about drink?
Oh, we getting messed up. I need some tequila.
Oh, okay.
What kind of tequila drink?
Clase Azul. Clase Azul.
Oh.
I'm a high class bride.
I was going to say, I'm like, that's some nice tequila.
And would you have it like, how would you drink it? In a margarita? On the rocks?
No, on the rock. On the rock.
Okay, so you do your tequila just on the rocks? Nothing else?
Yes.
Oh, 100%. Wow, that's actually how my husband drinks his tequila too.
That gets sends shivers down my spine.
I know, when I walk by and smell his drink, I'm like, oh God, it's so strong.
Oh God. Your chest is so barely.
What about a little lime? You wouldn't even do a little squeeze of lime in there?
No squeeze.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
Have you had Clase Azul though? It's like delicious.
It's very smooth, delicious. I hear.
No, I haven't.
Amazing.
Wait, is that the one that comes in the really pretty bottle? Like the blue and white one?
The ceramic bottle? Yes.
Yeah, I have had that.
That looks
That's true. It is good.
You could put it in like the corner of your room and it would just be a nice decoration.
I mean, honestly, I'm not too good for some Jose Cuervo to just go out with a fifth of that. It would take me back to my high school days. We used to split a bottle of Jose Cuervo in the car before going into the movie theater. Mm-hmm. And then we'd all usually end up throwing up 3 hours later. Isn't that so fun?
That's so it's classic.
We would do that over and over.
Yeah, repeatedly, like with the same outcome every time. You're like, you know what? That's still a good idea. I'm going to do it again.
Why are we doing this over and over and over again?
Speaking of which, what were you like in high school, Mike Johnson? Like what if you had to fall into like a stereotype in high school, what would that be? And were you a partier? Like, what did you do?
I was a class clown.
Okay.
Definitely. I was definitely a class clown. I was a little asshole to one of my teachers. My apologies. I would like, every time she would, I don't know why we had beef, but every time she would turn around, she was like my science teacher. She would turn around to the board and explain something to us. And I would just start. And I feel so bad saying this, but I've grown a lot. Like, and so it got to the point to where I got the entire class to clap every time she would turn around. Oh, no. And then when she turns back around, we would stop clapping. Like, we made her cry and I feel really bad. Yeah, I feel really bad.
You know, terrible. I can't bless high school teachers out there.
I know.
I had a Spanish teacher that we would all terrorize in my class and she would be up there teaching. And I remember I would bring bags of popcorn and there was a microwave in the classroom and I would just stand up and walk and go to the microwave and start popping popcorn while she was teaching. Like, no fucks given. What, like?
You're just like, fuck it, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm just like, the high schoolers are horrible. Like, the worst. Can you imagine dealing with bullshit?
I could never be a teacher. Like, legit, teachers are so underpaid to deal with all that BS that we put through. Hell no.
Oh, it's insane. It's the most respectable job on the planet. I had, when I was in high school, we had a teacher who, it was a similar situation. I feel so bad. But every time we'd have class with him, someone would start a chant. And it would just be someone would start going, "Ayo," and we'd start chanting because anytime in the whole class, you got like 50 kids in the middle of class. And he'd always be like, guys, settle down. And it would just make us louder. And it was just like a mob.
I mean, high school, what the fuck are they on? Like, the audacity to do this kind of shit is just crazy. Were you a dick?
Hormones,
like,
adrenaline, Red Bull.
That's the answer right there.
That's
what they're on.
Do you think that people would be less likely to do those kind of antics if things were separated by sex? Like, if you had, or would it be worse?
I think it'd be worse, especially the parties with Beth would be worse.
Oh.
Like, it's like a caged beast. And then when they finally can attack, they just go crazy. I think it'll be
that's
worse.
That's so true. Can you imagine all of a sudden being separated all day, every day, and then you end up at a party? True. It would be just disastrous.
That's so true. Yeah, because I wonder sometimes, I'm like, I feel like a lot of behavior is kind of like attention seeking to try to get the...
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, of course, this is centered around a... heterosexual point of view, but a lot of times you see the guys really going out of their way to, you know, get the girls to notice them in any way possible.
Mm-hmm.
The guys do that in the locker room though. Just, they can be heterosexual.
That's true.
And in the football locker room, play grab ass.
Yeah. True.
Just for the hell of it. Hey,
everyone's just
like, what are you doing, bro? Like, what's going on?
Did
no
you ever,
girls around. They don't care.
Did you ever fall in love in high school?
I did not fall in love in high school. I fell in love. I've been in love once. Okay. And it was the girl that was I spoke about briefly to Hannah Brown on The Bachelorette. In high school, to be honest, I was trying to make sure that my sister knew what a man should be. Mm. I know that sounds like super lovey-dovey, but kind of truth. And then I remember wanting to go to prom. I went to a few different proms, but the first girl I went to prom with, my mom was like, she needs to come to church with us. And so it was, I was very, my mother was extremely strict, extremely strict.
So did she go to church with you guys?
Yeah. She came to church and everything, but she messed up. I ain't gonna front you. Girl messed up. My mom asked her, I'll never forget this. It's been like forever. I'm old now, right? My mom asked her one question. She said, I ain't gonna say the girl's name. She said, so like, what do you want to be when you grow up? This girl said, married to an NFL player. I was like, okay, you could at least lie. Like, come on. Like, you told my mom you want to be married to an NFL, that's your job? Oh God, I'll never forget.
And that was her answer to what do you want to be when you grow up?
That's incredible. My God. I mean, I got to give her props just for the honesty of it.
That is so good.
The balls on this girl, tell my mom that. Like, at least lie.
Actually, I'm a gold digger, so
thoughts.
That is so funny.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
Which was weird though, because I wasn't even good at football. So I'm like, if that's me, I suck.
Yeah, you're like number one.
She's
rude.
Just passing through. Just hey, passing right. on through. Oh man.
You know, the good thing about Facebook is she's not married to a football player, and I know it now.
Oh, so. you're like, I'm sorry. Who did you want to be married to?
How did that work
now?
Out for you? That is actually the best thing about Facebook. I love seeing where my high school classmates are at now.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to go to my 10-year reunion and flex on them hoes. I cannot wait. Did you go?
They didn't have one for my school, and I was devastated.
Did you go, Mike?
No, I didn't go to mine.
Oh.
I didn't go to mine. I was just like, kids do. Should I go? I got to drive 4.5 hours back to my school.
No. You're like, yeah.
Pass.
I would have loved to, but my school is so small that it would have had to been organized by the people or the kids. I guess we're now all very grown up.
That's what they do, though. Do you know that that's what they do?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, no one stepped up and did it. So it just, and I was really, really banking on it.
Maybe you should organize the 20-year one.
I should. You know why? Because my superlative was most likely to become famous. And
so was mine.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie, I got two. I got most likely to be famous and best dressed, and I picked best dressed, so that's the one that went in the yearbook.
I mean, I understand that.
There we go.
I understand that.
I'm loving the overall.
Yeah. Thank you. They're actually my mother-in-law's. Gray's mom was like, these didn't fit me, but they refunded me. Like, do you want them? And I was like, yes, I do. So
love an overall.
Pass hand me down.
Mike, you should have gone. You have to now go to your 20th, though. Come on. See, that's the thing. Now you're rolling. When I had nothing to show. Like, I was like, well, I haven't really done much. And then right when my 10-year reunion was coming up, Chatty Broad started. And I was like, well, I have something now. So I was like excited to go.
I can go.
I was like, I have this little gem.
Well, regardless, I was talking to a couple of my high school friends. And I was like, what we need to do for our 10-year is we need to, like, ball out. Pop champagne, rent like a tacky limo or something, and roll up to the 10-year reunion like drunk in a limo.
Yes,
just like full messes. That's what I want to do.
You gotta be drunk at your reunion.
Oh,
you
absolutely,
gotta,
definitely.
Even if you don't drink, it's like, come on, you gotta make an exception for one day.
Yes,
exception for one day.
Can you imagine the conversation that you're having with some of these people that you haven't seen in 10 years?
No, I can't imagine. Actually, my best friends from high school, though, I'm still pretty close with. So I'd probably just be chilling with them.
Yeah.
And gossiping about the people.
I'm friends with a lot of them still. But then there's like, I had a big school. We had, in my graduating class, 967.
Yeah, that's big.
That goodness. Doesn't include the people that, like, you know, went to jail, the people that couldn't graduate in time, all those people. So it was well over 1,000.
That's
so
a lot.
I'm cool with a great majority of them. But then there's some of them that if I happen to see them at Walmart, I'm like, OK, cool. You're alive.
Yeah.
And I keep it moving.
Other aisle. You know?
OK, so you said your mom was strict. Did you grow up in a religious home?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, Christian, went to church a couple times, two times a week at different, our great grandma's church, our church. We couldn't celebrate Halloween for a while.
Me neither.
We have, yes.
Did your churches do harvest parties? Because that's what mine
Yeah, did. What are you like? Yeah, it's a Christian or a church vibe.
Yes.
You're like, everyone's dressed up here. Yeah. In candy. Their Halloween costumes, they're giving out candy, but we're just not calling it Halloween.
It's a different name. It's not the devil's birthday, right?
So, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, we had that. But the funny thing is, when I went to England, or I went to Europe, shall I say, oh my God, Europeans are different. My life was like, on all the things that could happen.
What do you mean?
Your face was like,
yeah, no,
just, because I was in Dallas, up until 21. And then when I left for the military and traveled overseas, I was just like bombarded with a whole
world.
Is
that where you got deployed to?
I got deployed over to Southeast Asia.
Okay.
Yeah. I was stationed in England and stationed in Portugal.
Oh, wow.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Which.
But yeah, that's old stuff. I've had a lot of lives. I've lived a lot of lives.
I was going to say,
yeah. What was that experience like? Like moving to Europe? After being in Dallas for all of your life.
Amazing. What do you mean? The best thing ever. Awesome. I loved it. Talk about taking a fifth of liquor down to the beach and like just getting faded. Ew, amazing. Best times ever.
Would you move back
waking up on a beach? If me and my wifey, 100%.
Maybe you could 100%. Meet wifey in Europe.
That's I would love it. I ain't gonna complain.
A Portuguese queen.
I've heard Portugal's fantastic. I really wanted to go.
Portugal is amazing. I mean, literally, no lie. During lunch hour, they stop everything and they just drink wine. They begin faded. Like during the work day, get faded, come back to work. You know, got a little buzz going. Get back to it.
Okay, get this. Amazing. Like I'm producing like the little clothing line I'm doing. It's all getting manufactured in Portugal. They told me like, you know, I'm trying to get this stuff produced because, you know, everything shut down for COVID. They're like, well, Portugal actually has like a 4-week holiday that the whole country goes on. So your line's going to be delayed 4 weeks because just straight up no one works for 4 weeks.
Yes.
I'm like, this is so good. This is the way to live life. Also, I'm pissed, but like everyone taking work off.
Also, I'm pissed, but
everyone taking the whole country basically taking work off for 4 weeks. Incredible.
Yes. Only like when you travel, you get to see so many different things. Like in America, we're born, it's a 40-hour work week, right?
Yeah.
And then 40-hour work weeks, it's really like 50, 55, 60-hour work weeks.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like that everywhere. It's completely different.
I'm moving, first of all.
Well, you know what's interesting in Europe, too? In Europe, they're like, you know how we say in like the U.S., the customer is always right? In Europe, it's not. That was like one of the first things I noticed. They're basically like, okay, you're the customer. Well, fuck you. I'm going to get to your table when I get to it. Like completely different attitude about some of this kind of stuff, which is cool.
They're like, bye, bitch.
You can leave. We don't need your business. Like, we're the only ones in here. Yeah, go.
We don't care. Well, I absolutely love that wellness is having this massive moment right now.
It is.
Yeah, it's huge. Like, fully on board with the whole thing. But if I'm being honest, sometimes it's hard to keep up with. It seems like every day there's kind of a new serum to apply or a superfood to try. And you pull back the curtain and sometimes the research, you know, it's spotty. I don't know. It's hitting fast. That's why for the past few months, I've thrown in the towel and I'm letting Care/of be my trusted wellness vetting system. Care/of is the wellness brand we trust and it helps us meet and maintain our health goals.
I took my Care/of supplements and vitamins this morning.
Girl, so did I.
Here's how it works. Start off by taking care of online quiz so that they can get a feel for your current lifestyle, your concerns and goals. And then from your answers, they'll make your customized vitamin packs and provide you with in-depth research about what they're suggesting, why they're suggesting it, and how the ingredient was sourced. So that's a big deal. Transparency is a huge part of Care of, which is definitely not something you'll see in grocery store vitamin aisles or even with a lot of big wellness brands. So that's why we trust them. They've got the research to back up their products. It means a lot.
Mm-hmm. And after I took the quiz, Care of suggested some vitamins and minerals to help with energy management and sleep continuity for me because, you know, even though I'm outside or not outside often, mom's still out there. You know, I like to do a late night Zoom call. Mm-hmm. And honestly, after taking my supplement packs for a few weeks, that they recommended, I can feel the difference. I no longer reach for that 3 p.m. caffeine jolt. And I've been waking up feeling like I actually slept, which is a huge game changer for how I've been able to take on the day.
For 50% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com/chatty50 and enter code chatty50. Again, that's takecareof.com/chatty50 and enter code chatty50 for 50% off your first Care of order.
Okay, so you went over to Europe, but I want to get back to the religious piece. Oh, are you still are you a spiritual man?
Yes. Well, there's a difference between spiritual and religious, right?
Right.
Sure.
I am a spiritual person. I do, in my book, I talk about some different things up in there. I'm not trying to plug my book, but I do talk about things in there.
Yeah, no, I need to hear about this. Yeah. Can you please tell us about this process of how long have you been working on this book? When is it going to release? What's it going to have in it?
Oh, no, it's not out. It's out. Is it pre?
The pre-order is out right now.
Yes.
But okay. The order, I think, I haven't checked today, but I believe the pre-orders are sold out already, which is pretty awesome.
Okay. Is there going to be another pre-order or no?
I had to take that's my baby, so I had to soak that in right quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? You should be celebrating right now. Where's that fifth? Come on.
Yeah.
I know it's the AM.
I had a lot last night. it comes out October 2nd, aka World Smile Day. It's called Making the Love You Want. It took about 11 months to write the book and edit the book and go through every single word and punctuation in the book. And it's pretty awesome. Check it out.
Wow. When did you start thinking about writing a book? Or like, is this something you wanted to do? I'm so inspired.
Thank you. When I came off the show, I was pleasantly surprised at like all the messages that I got of just from being vulnerable and authentic to who I am and being loud and telling somebody off, but then also being soft and sweet and considerate. And the DMs and the messages just continue to flow. And I decided just to write more about it and turn it into a book.
Wow. That's so cool.
And it's a book on how to boss up. It's a book on how to obtain that supreme confidence, how to accept, how to not be guilty or have guilt, how to love yourself more, how to say, I've had a child, I'm sexy, you know, how to say, I don't look like other people on the show and I'm beautifully made for being authentic and I can keep going forever, but I won't.
Do you talk about your personal, like your upbringing, your life, all of that as well?
There are some things in that book my mom didn't know before I told her.
Wow.
Like straight up. Like, yeah.
Has she read it?
She has not read it yet. No one in my family is ready yet.
Oh,
no one.
My gosh.
I want their natural reactions as well, just like everyone else.
Wow.
I feel like I have a chip on my shoulder because, you know, we come from reality TV. Mm-hmm. And if you're a reality person that writes a book, normally it's not perceived as thought-provoking per se.
Sure.
That's one reason why my face is not on the cover of my book, because I want to be perceived as an author first, right? Someone with, I just use my words wisely. And so the book is, it's about me a little bit, but I'm only 32. You feel me? I'm still young. It's not a memoir. Mm-hmm. Like, I got so much more to do in life. Like, I'm trying to travel the world with my kids and my lady. I'm trying to build tree houses. I'm trying to, you know, be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Yes. Trying to have water gun fights, you know? got a lot to do still.
Definitely. I know it's a, I always think it's kind of funny, actually, when people call their books a memoir when they're like less than 50 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, what? Like, you have to be at least on your deathbed if you're going to write your memoir.
At least, right?
Memoir like, sounds like you're already dead.
No. Has Betty White written a memoir? Like, seriously.
Oh, wow. Yeah. If Betty White hasn't written a memoir,
she better get on it.
Yeah.
Low-key. You cannot write a memoir.
No, you cannot.
Yeah, she... Yeah, like we don't know how much longer Betty White got, so she might want to write. Not Betty White, Dolly Parton. That's what I'm thinking about.
Oh, Dolly Parton. Did Betty White die? She's still alive?
No, she's still
alive. Betty White passed. Parton, I'm thinking about.
Wait, Betty White passed? Oh no!
Oh my God!
Are we sure? Really not aware of that?
Are we sure? Did you? There's no way, right? There's no way. You have to look it up. No, no. Betty White has to. Yes. She still has to be alive.
No, she's alive.
Yes.
No, Betty.
I just looked it up. She's 98. This bitch is almost 100.
God. Betty White is 98 and she is still working. And that, when some of my precious friends, I love all of you, my sweet musician friends, but when they're just like kicking around, not working, being lazy assholes, I'm like, Betty White is 98 and she is still working. She has tons of money. She could have retired forever
during
ago.
World War One. My God.
Wow. He said she was born during World War One.
That's wild.
Dolly Parton, on the other hand, will never die, first of all. Second of all, she's a cool 74. She's got a life. She's got a whole another quarter of life to live.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly Parton's only 74?
Yeah. Wow. You thought she was funny older? How insulting.
It's, wow.
I could have sworn she was at least 80.
Moral of the story is, if they don't have memoirs, we don't write memoirs.
Exactly. Like, yes. Exactly. Okay, so in your book, you touch on spirituality, you were saying?
I touch on spirituality. I touch on faith. I touch on people have a perception of me based on the way I was perceived on TV, which is who I am. Mm-hmm. But there's also, I'm not like, I've done bad things and stupid things. And I talk about it in the book. And that's who I am, right? A part of that made me who I am today. So I do talk about things that I've done. And I was like, damn, I'm putting this in a book. Okay.
Do you feel a lot of pressure after coming off the show? Because you were like, I mean, it was just like Mike Johnson is the hero. Everyone was just like, he's the best guy ever. He's handsome. He's perfect. He's wonderful. Do you feel this pressure of like, oh my God, it's great that you were perceived that way and you seem very much to be that person, but I would imagine.
Nah, no pressure. Like, nah, no pressure. No pressure. I mean, I would say the only pressure I get is when because my culture is different than most of Bachelor Nation's mm-hmm. culture growing up wise. So there are things that if I reference something, my audience just won't get. Just because we come from a completely different culture. Like, if I can name all kind of movies that no one will get, right? But if I name a movie from Step Brothers, everyone gets that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like I made a tweet one day about Cash Money Records back in like early 2000, 99. No one knew what I was talking about. But then I said something about Rascal Flatts. Everyone knew what I was talking about.
Right? Like the most cliche thing ever. I love that.
They're knocking each other out of the way in the comments to be like, oh my God, I'm a huge fan. God bless the broken road.
Well, like, that's the only pressure I get is making sure that I'm authentic to myself, but then also that my audience, because my audience
connect. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still able to connect because, I mean, the Bachelor Nation family is predominantly, they've done a good job of, and it's kind of insulated still. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I come from a super, very different background. I want to make sure I still connect when I talk about like things from the media world.
That's
but as far as pressure on, nah, because I'm always freaking smiling and just happy. Like, it's ridiculous. I wake up and go, woo! Like, I'm just a stupid, goofy kid. And I definitely speak my mind. All those things that were displayed to me on TV are still true to this day. So there's no pressure there at all.
Can we talk a little bit about Hannah's season?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay, first of all, what was Luke P really like? And Jess actually brought this up earlier today, so I have to give her credit because she was wondering what it was like to live with Luke B.
We had some questions from the broads, and so we wanted to bring them in seamlessly here. And people were wondering, you know, what was it like living in the home?
It was, I'll answer both. Luke, I remember one time, Luke is Luke. He has his own, look at you sipping tea hard.
My eyes are just like this Luke big. I'm just like
Luke has his own set of beliefs. Like he really does. And they're a bit peculiar to the most of us on the show. And one time we had went to, I think, Rhode Island, and they sectioned Luke off, right? He had his own spot because he'd be tripping sometimes.
Wait, what?
And the rest
of
us.
Rewind. What do you mean he had his own spot?
He had his own room. Like if we're in a hotel and we got four rooms for all of us, Luke had his own room. Right.
Wow.
And I knocked on his door one time because I genuinely wanted to talk to him. Like I felt like I was the voice of reason in the house. I felt like I would say whatever the hell is on my mind, but then also be compassionate and understanding. Right. And so I knocked on his door, and this is like juicy TV because like me and Luke were arch enemies per TV, right? And so, well, I mean, we definitely don't see eye to eye in a lot of things. And I knocked on his door, went in there. We ran upstairs, and producers were pissed off at us because they couldn't hear or see us or record us. And we're just chopping it up. And I'm really trying to get through to Luke. I'm like, bro, what is your mind? Like, what's going on, bro? And Luke is extremely, if anyone's around Luke, if you never saw him on TV, you would think he was the sweetest guy, like legit ever, because he looks at you in your eyes, just stares at you, and he talks slowly, and then he goes like that, and you're like, what's going on here? But then, like,
did he eat me or make out with me or what?
Yeah, like, you just kind of don't know. But then, you know, once a serious topic occurs, that's when you start to, you know, unravel some things. Mm-hmm. And prime example, when we did Men Tell All, it had been like 2 months, you know, it's not like the next day after, right? Some time has passed, and I felt bad for Luke, and a lot of us guys felt, it wasn't just me, a lot of us felt bad for all the media that he was getting negatively. And so, we were hollering at him on Men Tell All, and we were like, bro, do you, you know, forgive, do you want to change anything that you said? He said no. And then we were like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't want to change nothing. You felt everything you did was all right, perfectly fine. So at that point in time, that man is that man. But as far as just being on a show, I thought it was cool. I mean, I had a...
No, I was just going to say, were you guys actual arch enemies? Or was that just sort of like you saw the worst moments come out on the show? Like when you guys were, like you said, you guys were up there just chilling together. Was that how your interaction with him usually was?
Yeah, so in Scotland, I love how the producers did this. It was so ingenious in looking back on it. For some reason, Luke and I were the only ones in this beautiful mansion in Scotland while everyone else was on a group date. And it was just Luke and I there.
I forgot about that scene.
Just strictly Luke and I, right? And so they did it because like they know I'm going to say whatever the hell is on my mind.
Yeah.
Not hold back. And Luke was going to say whatever the hell's on his mind. So it was great TV, right? And I think a bit more than he does at times. And so when we were together in the house that day alone, we didn't talk to each other until they made us talk to each other and sit down. Like, went to his side, I went to my side. So we're not like the best of homies. I mean, but at the same time, there are things that we have commonality in, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think most people have commonality. You can find something that you like, but then they just keep talking. And it's like, just shut up, bro. It's like, have you ever, as ladies, right? Have you ever been on a, prior to, you know, the partners, have you ever been on a date with somebody and you're like, man, this dude look good. I'm trying to let him have it. But just keep talking. And you're like, just shut the hell up.
Stop. You're yes. making it worse. You're making it so much worse.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yes. That's how it is. It's like we could talk, but then he just keep on talking. And it's like, bro, you got some weird shit going on.
that, that was the that when he always, he did come off that way. It was always like he would say something.
He would, and always,
it
would be like, just said too
all right,
much.
If you just ended Stop. It there, it would have been all right. And then it just kept going, and you were like, oh God, now you've taken it too far.
Well, and I always feel bad. It's kind of like Kanye West, where you're like,
I was going to say that. I was just going to say that. I swear to God, I was about to say Kanye. Put down my life. I was about to say Kanye.
Where you're like, bro, I want to defend you. Like, I want to be yes. in your court.
Yes. Okay, no, that's
stop,
how it is.
Stop there. No, don't. Oh, God.
That's exactly how it is.
Kanye and Luke P are one and the
yo,
same.
It's the truth. Like, Kanye, we've grown to like, well, maybe. In the beginning, we all grew to love Kanye, right?
Yes. Huge fan. And,
huge fan.
Yeah, and then, like, over the years, I'm like, bro, can you just shut the fuck up?
I know. Like, for me, I was, like, a super self-professed Kanye fan. Yeah. So it's like, you're making me look really bad the further yes. I go.
Yes. I used to tell my homie, I think maybe, like, 3 years ago, I was like, bro, it's hard to be a Kanye fan. Right?
It's
like,
tough.
It is hard. It's tough. It should not be this much work. It should not be this hard.
Why are we all having to act like his PR, you know? It's like, well, he didn't really mean that. What he was trying to say was this.
Yes, it's Luke P is like Kanye.
Oh my God.
Beta. It's like, I want to like you, man. I really do, but just shut the hell up sometimes.
Okay, what was Luke P's best quality? I want to ask this. What your
opinion awesome. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm really glad you asked that because he does have good qualities. Luke P's best quality is that he comes from a good place in the sense of his mindset and his heart. It literally is from a good place. Even when he told Hannah, if you slept with somebody else, I promise you, if you know him, it's in his brain, it's legit from a good place.
He doesn't. Like, yeah, he does not make the right choice.
Correct. He does not do anything malicious. It's not like, I don't know. He just, because now I'm thinking, I'm having flashbacks of when the whole rugby date happened and he hit my homie Luke S.
Yeah.
And he beat him. Luke is competitive. So, but everything he does comes from a really good place. I will defend him on that. But it just, after that, it comes out wrong. It's like Kanye. It really is. It's like Luke literally comes from a good place. He's a Christian guy. He has a lot of morals. I don't think he has to have a bit more life experience, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is for him. Mm. Like, I said what I said on Men Tell All, and I stand by it. I hope that he's changed. It's been over a year now.
Yeah.
But I know what I said.
Who are you still cool with from your season? Like, who are some of your favorite people?
I mean, to be honest, it would be easier to say who I'm not cool with. Like, I just talked to Tyler and Matt a few days ago, Dylan, Connor. I talked to so many of them.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
That's so nice.
That's a lot.
It was interesting to watch your season because I felt like it was one of the very few seasons that minus Luke P, everyone really seemed to like really enjoy each other's company, and everyone was like a unit. And then he was just like the random one on the outside.
Do you feel like there was, and you don't have to say any names, but do you feel like there was like a real villain of the season that wasn't really that like didn't get shown in that light?
Good question, because I feel like you have. I want to ask you that back.
That's what I was going to question. I definitely do. I definitely know who I think it is, but I'm not. Well,
I would say on our season, Luke messed up a lot of stuff. I was hella pissed off because Luke pissed me off a lot of times, straight up, because I couldn't talk to them. Like I said I couldn't talk to my lady. You know, Hannah at the time, I was calling her my lady. We were pretty dope. I mean, Cam was tripping sometime, but
oh my God, yeah. Cam, yeah, I forgot about him.
We had a pretty cool cast. I mean, John Paul Jones, he could definitely not be a villain. He's the most awesome guy ever. Like, we were pretty cool. I really can't think of no one else, to be honest. I mean, we know there were things that we didn't know while on the show.
Yeah.
That we found out after the show. But on the show, I really couldn't. Mm. Like being, if I would tell you if I knew.
Yeah. No, I believe it. I mean, the show's really interesting because you are in such an insulated environment. Mm-hmm. Like you are seeing only one side of people a lot of the times, even when you're in like filming with them, you know, like when you watch the show back, definitely people are like two dimensional. But also when you're in an environment with people, you're seeing them in a really stressful environment. I don't know. It's a very interesting experience. That's for sure.
I explain it to people when they say like, it's like this. If I am if I'm a cursor, right? And I curse all the damn time, right? If you are the producer, you're going to record me cursing more often. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it. Me, I'm always smiling, and it's annoying to me because I'm like, yo, when I watch the show back, I'm like, yo, I swore I talked. I swore I had more conversations. I swore I know how to use my words, right? I wrote a damn book, right? But I'm always smiling. So therefore, the camera is going to catch that for the most part, yeah. Right? If I, for me, I have no problem defending my thoughts, right? On how I feel things should be. Hey, Hannah's crying, get her a tissue, right? That's how I am, right? And so for me personally, they were with us for like 8 weeks or whatever. And they did cut out a lot of stuff, but I mean, I think it's a snippet of who we are. And it's a snippet of who we are under stress. I will agree with you there. It's a snippet of who we are under stress, right? And so under stress, some people go haywire. Mm-hmm. Is what it is.
That's the interesting thing about the show is I tell people, I swear you can make almost anyone on the show with editing make look really good or really bad.
Yes, you can.
And
yes, you can.
And because I know when I think back on some of the stuff I said, one, it's under pressure, it's under stress, it's under sleep deprivation. Sometimes it's provoked by the person you're talking to, by the producer on the other side of the camera, who's like, do that impression of that person, you know, or like say what you said earlier.
You're like, you don't have to ask me twice.
And you're like, or even you're just like, I want to get out of this interview. And they're like, come on, just talk to me a little bit more about this person. Like sometimes it's, you know, you're provoked and prodded a little bit to say things that you maybe wouldn't say otherwise when you've been on 3 hours of sleep and we've been talking. This is one tactic that I felt like was probably the same with Luke P. Producers will get you to talk about the villain like over and over and over again.
Yeah.
In group chats, when everyone's sitting together, in an interview, in the like one-on-one conversations. It's like, why don't you talk about Luke P some more? Let's talk about Luke P.
That is probably what you make me think about it. That's probably what pissed me off the most because I'm like, bro, I don't want to talk about you.
Exactly. It's not always about the person. It's about how much you're having to talk and focus on this person, and it drives fucking nuts.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to talk about this dude. Can we just talk about some other shit? Like, I don't want to talk about him.
Yeah, and then it makes you start to, like, hate them because you're asked to talk about them all the time. So then when you see them, you're just like, bro, I hate that you're here because you're ruining this experience right now. That's how I felt, at least.
That totally makes sense.
Anyway, I just think it's interesting because it's like, I'm sure there was some things like you can take so many different things out of context. I'm sure that they could have made you look so much worse, not because you're like a bad person, but because we're multidimensional people. And for me, I felt like it could have gone the totally different direction than it did on Ari's season. It's just interesting when you're on the show to know that, you know, it's not always how it comes.
I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you there. Like you could make the nice. I think Mateo from our season is like one of the nicest people ever. Mm. He didn't get no air, but probably because he's so nice, and just so nice. But they could even make Mateo look mean, right? It's just however you want to edit something. I think they did a good job editing us for the most part. But I wanted to say, I had this conversation last night about like how someone in different cultures, we talked about Europe earlier, someone could be in different cultures and the audience doesn't understand their culture, so they can be taken completely out of context. Mm-hmm. For example, in Europe, their level of comedy is assholish, right? Super asshole. Like they will say the rudest things ever, and it's so funny over there. But in our culture, we're very, we get butt hurt a whole lot easier, right? And so on the show, I think a part of it is that as well. Like, just there's so many different clashes of cultures from so many different subsets.
Yeah.
And so, for example, if I've had people in my family pass away, right? So a lot, right? And so therefore, the way I may deal with it, people may say, why didn't you cry? You're an asshole because you didn't cry. And I'm like, that's because you never lost nobody, right? And so therefore, if you never lost nobody, your level of your culture thinking is like, this is the saddest day ever. But if you grew up in a trauma intense unit, some shit just won't be as tough.
Won't faze you as much, yeah.
Yeah, you've been hardened to a certain level, right? And so I think that that's a hard thing as well. And I would hope that, you know, our family, our extended family, Bachelor Nation, and on any show, realizes that, right?
I think that's a really good point. I haven't really thought about that before, because I think oftentimes we pin people and be like, they didn't seem like they were really that sad when they left. Maybe they weren't that into them. And yeah, you're right. It's just a variety of experience that's going to give you a different reaction to different things.
That's all it is. So like, I remember somebody said, I should not be the Bachelor because I was, I think Wells Adams said it. I call out people, feel me? I like Wells. I actually love Wells, but I think Wells said, I don't think Mike is ready to be the Bachelor because he wasn't emotional enough. And I thought that was a effing BS, right? And we're good. But I, for me, I'm thinking, bro, I cry about real stuff. And, you know, like, like, I'm sorry I didn't, like, fall in love. Yeah. And I'm not about to cry because... You feel me?
No, yes. it's so yes. real. And yes. It's so like, yes, that makes 100% complete sense.
Like, I'm not like, I ain't going, no diss, but to the girls that's crying like on first night, I would never even want to date you in the first place. Like, I'm sorry, babe. Like, what you crying? You don't even know me. Like, I'm just some dude. You don't even know what I like. What's my favorite drink? Come on. Do you know? What you crying
on
for,
the rocks, right? Honey.
We know.
There we go. Check. Check.
No, but like, it's that. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, just different culture upbringing, right? That's how it is.
Well, if you're being real, sometimes I feel a little suspicious of the people that are like a blubbering mess. I'm like,
yeah.
Are you turning on the tears right now? What's going on? Are you vying to be the Bachelorette? What's happening here? But I think it's good to have a little bit of that skepticism.
It's just crazy. Or like, I'm not going to force myself to like someone just to stay longer, right?
Sure.
I wanted the show truly to find love. And after the show, I've learned from the homies, because I didn't know the show. I didn't know how big the show was until week four, when like it was like 1,000 girls, JPJ, Mike, Tyler. It was crazy. And then I started to realize, oh, this is like colossal, right?
Yeah.
So appreciative for it. And so for me, I was like, yo, I got an opportunity to find love in this form. I tried dating apps, tried, you know, San Antonio, tried blind dates. I'm like, why not try this, right? And so that's what it was for me, just to find love. I'm not trying to, if I don't like you, I don't like you, and I'm not going to cry over you.
Yeah.
All right, Brad. So one silver lining of the last few months has been seeing how many people have shifted into entrepreneurial endeavors to support themselves. People are so incredible and so smart, and how there's been such a big shift to also support small businesses amidst such a period of uncertainty. It really brought me a lot of joy to see how creative and supportive people can be, especially the Broad Squad. I'm seeing all you out there. And if you are a small business or you're wanting to start a small business, I want to tell you about something that's helped us tremendously when turning Chatty Broads from an idea into a reality. And that, my broads, is stamps.com. Stamps.com has been so helpful for us and thousands of other small businesses, because whether you're sending out tax forms or product orders, you can do it all right from the comfort of your own home. I personally use stamps.com recently to send in tax forms, something I dread doing every year. And it was the easiest it's ever been. With stamps.com, you can do anything that you would do at the post office from your home, which is very convenient right now, like printing official U.S. postage with discounts that you can't even get at the post office, 5 cents off every stamp, and up to 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates. It's amazing. As a small business owner, those scents add up. Trust and believe. Plus, you're saving time because you won't spend a second more waiting in lines at the post office. And we all know time is money. Stamps.com is really a no-brainer. Right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, which I love, without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in chatty. That's stamps.com and type in code chatty. Okay, does anyone else remember in high school counting down the days until you never had to go to class again and putting off assignments and readings because, ugh, teenage angst, am I right? Well, as a almost 32-year-old woman, looking back at those moments now, I could just kick myself because the ability to learn new things is one of the best things in life. It is one of life's greatest gifts, and I miss it so much as an adult. And as adults, we just don't get those chances as often as we did as kids. But lately, with all this time at home, I have had that opportunity once again, and I am living for it. I am loving my Skillshare membership because it brings back the opportunity to learn new things, and it's just been such an amazing thing. It's super empowering too. If you're not familiar with Skillshare, it's an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. You can explore new skills, deepen existing passions, or even just get lost in creativity. There's a class that I am so wanting to take called iPhone Videography. Shoot and edit using your iPhone because I miss the art of home videos. I really want to have like long form videos to pass down to Ember that they can look back at when they're older. And I think this class is going to help me do that in a way that doesn't have me confused and frustrated. And if videography isn't your thing, it's all good. Skillshare has thousands of classes in categories like graphic design, animation, entrepreneurship, photography, and so many more for just $10 a month. It is a steal compared to in-person classes, which we can't even do right now, and workshops, and you can do the classes at your own pace this way when they fit with your schedule from your home. It's creativity customized. Explore your creativity and get 2 free months of premium membership at Skillshare.com/chatty. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Get started today by heading to Skillshare.com/chatty. Again, that's 2 free months of unlimited access to thousands of classes at Skillshare.com/chatty. Did you have an idea when you and Hannah broke up that it was coming, or were you kind of like blindsided?
No, I think the last, I would say probably the last 8 of us guys knew she wanted Jet.
Really?
That's how I feel.
I hear this a lot. Like, yeah. I remember people from Nick's season. I don't know. I've heard a lot of people from other seasons be like, oh yeah, we all knew that they were into
the final,
this person.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for a lead to, like, I think a bunch of us guys in our season were great. Mm-hmm. I really do. But it's hard for a lead to be like, I'm all into you, but I'm going to still try this sauce out for a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be a hard thing. But I mean, if I bet on it, I'm going to say, I'm sure she likes Jet. Right. Yeah. That was my bet. I mean, even when she went on Ellen DeGeneres, you know, Ellen asked her, she showed her a bunch of guys like Michael B. Jordan, like a bunch of guys, old dude from Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
She showed her a bunch of guys and she chose Bradley Cooper, who's a guitar player. He got the look like he hasn't showered in like 2 days. Yeah. You know, that look. That's Jet. Yeah. And so, you know, that's what she likes. She likes muscular, stocky guys, you know?
You know what? I forgot about Jet. And so when I was talking about the villain earlier, I wasn't even thinking about Jet in my head, if that's who you were thinking of.
I know. I always forget about Jet because it was like he was removed from Bachelor Nation as soon as everything went down.
Yeah. What? Do you have any thoughts on that now? Like,
Yeah, definitely. I speak on anything. It's crazy. I think that's what be getting me in trouble sometimes.
Relatable.
Like, Mike, you should shut up right now, bro.
Relatable. I know. Who are we to talk about the Kanyes and Luke P's of the world, right?
I didn't know Jed had that extracurricular stuff going on. I really truly didn't. I don't think none of us knew, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, it was like, that's fucked up. Mm. And since I am cool with Jed, I feel that we all talk about acceptance and forgiveness, but at the same time, we all are like, I don't want to forgive that person.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm just speaking facts, right?
Yeah.
And for people to come at Jed's like sister and mom, that kind of was annoying. I mean, because like we've lost people on our show from our season, right? Mm-hmm. And this is real people. It is perfectly fine to not like someone though, based on their actions. I'm not disputing that. But to come with someone else outside of that person is, that's kind of messed up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was annoyed for sure. I was like, that's messed up, bro.
Yeah. I completely spaced on that as well when we were talking. And I just, you know, I always think that to me, the final two were always like, well, it was Tyler and Pete. It was Tyler and Pete.
Totally.
Okay. Question. Speaking of Tyler, I'm now thinking of Matt James. Let's talk about you being the Bachelor. So
let's do it.
Was that anything?
I love.
We were the meme,
by the way.
We were off. This the creator, the creator of the viral meme.
I love the meme.
I should have put the freaking watermark on it. Oh well. Yeah. Was that ever actually on the table?
We had conversations, definitely. So in Peter's season, or part of Peter being the Bachelor, it was definitely discussed. You know, I met up with him, flew out there, had the conversations. Obviously, they chose Peter. This year, I don't know what they did, but they chose the person that they feel is best.
Was that, I mean, I know obviously you all are friends, but was that upsetting to you when you're like, hey, there's so many of us screaming from the rooftops, we want Mike Johnson?
I can be friends with someone and still speak my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I just talked to Matt like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And, it sucks when you are the popular vote 2 years in a row, mm-hmm. and a part of it makes you question yourself. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, yo, this is like my book. I'm having to go through it myself right now. Parts of my book, right, that I talk about. And it's like, for me, it was more so, how did Matt go from being a contestant to being the lead?
Right.
To me, that's what I was like, damn, where'd they do that at?
Yeah, I think we're all wondering that.
And so I think, I mean, the timing of it, mm-hmm. Was peculiar to me. For sure. It was a lot of things that was like, okay, you know.
I mean, I think Rachel said it best, like she always does. She was basically like, when they announced Matt James, which was, wasn't it still in June? I think it was still in June when they announced it.
Yes.
In the wake of everything that was happening in June, it's like, we're having a Black Bachelor. Rachel said something like this. She just feels like slapping it on to, like, I don't know, make people shut up. I don't remember what she said eloquently, but it definitely had that vibe.
100% had that vibe. And that's not even Matt's fault, but to speak on it, that's what it was, period. Right. That's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. I love my extended family, Bachelor Nation, 100, love y'all. Mm-hmm. And for them to slap that, you know, slap, I hate to say it in this term, but to put a Black man in that time frame when it's not never shown, like, we're still talking about Claire at the time, right?
Yeah.
So it was messed up for Claire, you know, messed up to Claire. And then it was messed up, quite honestly, to the audience. Like, that was kind of rude how y'all did us, right? And now, I mean, just the whole way that it was marketed, where they had to show Tyler, and this is Matt's show right now. Yeah. But they wanted to make sure that we saw all of his friends, and that they made sure that we saw his mom. There were things that I would talk about with the homies that make things really peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it like that. I'll definitely say it like that.
Hmm.
Like, I can, you know, this is real talk. if I post pictures of my family, I'm gonna do it today when we get off the phone. Watch my, I'm gonna post a couple live pictures, and it doesn't look like nothing any other Bachelor alum would that has, right? And I'll get zero looks at it. But if I had maybe a white mom, it might look different. Mm. Or if all for the majority, I seem more like I'm a Bachelor person, right? I don't come from that world. And so it seemed like a very good choice for the Bachelors. But also choice. Matt is also a very good guy.
Yeah,
and so like, I'm not.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you when you're still saying more.
No, I like it.
No, I was just going to say, what, like, so have you hung out with Matt? Like, what can you tell us about what kind of person he is?
Matt is...
Because this is a crazy thing. Us viewers have no fucking idea who this guy is besides Tyler's best friend. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Matt is, he's more than Tyler's best friend. Definitely so. Matt is someone that is humble. Matt is someone that, and I'm talking about from experience of knowing Matt. Matt is someone that is competitive, like, you know, works out like crazy. Matt is someone that is fun. And Matt is someone that is, he's never been in love, but he definitely wants to be in love. And Matt is just a fun loving guy, to be honest. I mean, that's how I would describe him.
Yeah. I mean, from everything that I've seen, I'm sure it's going to be a great season.
No, it will be the best season ever. You can't have the first Black Bachelor and not make it good.
Yeah. It's going to be the best.
Do you think he's serious about finding a wife right now? This is the only question I had, because the only thing that makes me a little bit like, I don't know how I feel about it. Just seeing, you know, Tyler coming off of his season and like, dating, or you know, your season, like dating Gigi and seeing them like party with the Kardashians, and like even right now, like out at a party during COVID. It's like, do you think Matt seriously wants to find a wife right now?
From my conversation that I had with him like legit 2 days ago, he does.
Good to know.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great season. Like you said, it's going to have to be the best, but it was definitely one of those things where as a audience, as part of the audience, and also obviously as an advocate for always wanting Mike Johnson to be the Bachelor, it felt very much like, okay, I don't like this move, producers, because you had who the audience was asking for. When they were initially talking with you and then Pete was chosen, do they give you a reason at all, or do they just say it's just a pass?
No, it was no reason whatsoever. I have no idea why. I would have liked to know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I refuse to allow my mind to worry about things that are outside of my control.
Well, also some of these choices are like, yes, they're also calculated, but sometimes they're kind of convoluted. Like, I mean, where the hell did choosing Claire as the Bachelorette come out of, for instance? You know, it's like, I don't think you can put too much thought behind it when you have like, you know, Hannah, Ann, and Madison, hugely popular fan favorites coming off of Pete's season. And then they put in Claire, she was first on the show like 6-7 years ago. I don't even know how long. It's like, you really can't put too much thought into what it says about you as a person, because it more just says about like what random off the cuff decisions they make as a show.
Facts. I mean, there are the people that are the decision makers. I have no idea why they do what they do, except for it's working. That's it. It's working. They've been doing it 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they know what they're doing.
It's a long ass
despite
time.
How we may feel. This is like one of the funniest things, right? This goes way bigger than the Bachelor franchise. It goes with everything in life. People need to realize there are, no matter what the decision makers do, they have to listen to the consumer. Mm-hmm. They have to. It's mandatory, right? Mm-hmm. And that's because money is the bottom line. And if consumers are pissed off and they flee, then the producers get no money. So therefore, they can't reproduce, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, if people are really pissed off about something, That's all people have to do. Yeah. Right. But we love it too much, you know?
We keep, it's like an, we keep coming back for more.
Exactly.
Like the exactly. Best friend, so abusive that, relationship.
That's why I say they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, would you ever, if they ever asked to come back on the franchise in any way, would you ever say yes? Or are you done?
I mean, the first thing I always say is if I'm single, you know, cause I'm in love, I ain't about to break up with nobody going to show. Mm-hmm. Then I would say, I don't see myself going to Paradise ever again.
Really?
Yeah. I'll say that.
Even if right now they're going to ask you to join in on La Quinta, whatever the fuck's going on over there, while showing up with his bar cart, you wouldn't?
No. Not right now, no.
So was that not a positive experience for you?
Bachelor in Paradise is just not, it's not the move for me right now. If they said, we want you to be the Bachelor, we would go back to the drawing board, or, you know, have discussions about that.
Yeah.
We would do that.
Do you have a crush on anyone in Bachelor Nation right now?
That's it. There's a lot of cuties in Bachelor Nation.
Okay, someone is holding a gun to your head and you have to pick a wife from Bachelor Nation right now. Who are you picking? You have to. It's life or death. You have to pick someone.
It's a lot of cuties on Bachelor Nation.
Jess, who do you pick? You're not with Evan. It's life or death. Who are you picking to be your husband?
From Bachelor Nation?
Yes.
Obviously, Mike. Edit this part out. okay, let's see. From Bachelor Nation. Oh gosh, I all of a sudden blank on. I mean,
5, 4.
Speaking of Wells, probably.
Okay.
Wells, there you go. There you go. He'll make you good drinks.
Yeah.
And he'll make you laugh. Dude is hilarious.
Yeah, he's funny. He seems like a good time. I would say Wells. What about you?
Ari.
No, I'm just kidding. You just start sobbing.
Sorry.
I'm okay. I don't actually, I didn't watch any of Wells' season. And sometimes he annoys me on Bachelor in Paradise, actually.
I don't know why you're going to talk about my husband like that, but go ahead.
You know who I really liked? I don't know him very well, but this is the first person that comes to mind. Wills. Have you ever met Wills from Becca's season?
Yeah, we were on Paradise together.
That's right. He always seemed really cool. I like him.
Yeah, he's pretty dope. He's eccentric. That's why I like him.
Yeah, he was really funny. We played, I went on an episode of Becca's season, me and all the girls did, and we played, what's that game? Mafia with cards.
Oh, I love
and
that
game.
And
he was super fun. You never played that?
Never played that.
Oh, it's so good.
We used to play it on set of The Bachelor, like, all the time, and I get super intense with it. It's like a really intense game where I'll be like screaming at someone like, you're lying, you're the mafia. Anyway, that was a segue. So okay, now you have to say.
I'll say this, the person that if I would have to be locked up with someone in the room during quarantine to pass the time. Only to pass time.
Oh, shit. I said a wife, but now you're suddenly locked in a room in this sexy situation. Well, you've taken it to a different level.
I'm trying to make
my
it.
Man.
Cause if I had to have a best, if I had to have a friend that would make me laugh.
Okay.
I would say Demi.
Okay.
Okay.
A friend who would make you laugh. Now, was that the same situation as locked in the room with them?
No. Because I'll probably go crazy with her ass. Okay. No, not like that.
Okay, what about a wife?
I have to know. I don't know their personalities. I would have to go on a couple of dates with them.
All right. Fair. Who is your favorite?
I hate you, Mike.
Your favorite on Pete's season? This is the last question I'm going to ask about that.
I like Kelly. I liked, Peter had a whole bunch of cute girls on his season. I ain't gonna lie.
He did.
And I'm like, Peter, I've told him. I've texted him. I've called him. I'm like, bruh.
And he's like, bruh, I know.
I had a hard time
he's
choosing.
He's like, I've slept with like 5 of them.
Real shit though. When I start counting, I'm like, oh man.
What wrong? Pete likes to have fun.
Yes.
Pete likes to have fun.
I mean, we heard Jack ratted him out on his season.
Jack did rat him out.
Like, bro, you like to party.
You can't go with Maddie. You like to party.
Pete does like to party. He, you know.
Does he? Was he super fun on Hannah's season?
Yeah, there's things about Peter that, like, is real fun. Yeah, definitely so.
I love it.
He was quiet. I ain't gonna front. Like, the first few weeks, I didn't know who the hell he was because he was just quiet. Like, I didn't even know who Tyler was, like, the first 2 weeks because Tyler was quiet.
Huh.
But then Tyler opened up. I was loud from day one.
Like, who was one of your best friends?
One of the guys came out of the limo. I was.
Who were your favorites in the first couple weeks? Like, people you instantly jived with?
Dustin, Connor, Jonathan, Matt, who was, he left like the first world ceremony. I was cool with Cam until he tripped.
Cam. There was never anyone quite like him on the show.
Cam is, he's an original. He is definitely an original. I was cool. I was just cool with people because Cam would cook. And so obviously I'm going to gravitate towards the person that cooks. And Cam will wash dishes on his own, which I respect Cam for.
Was the fucking player. Dishwasher still broken at the mansion? Because it was broken when I was there.
Yes.
Oh, no, they yes, never
we had
fixed
to wash
it.
All the own dishes. And like, I was not cool with the guys that would not wash their dishes. Like, that's messed up, bro.
No, you like, start learning
it,
about
it. It was like, yeah. It was like eight of us that would wash dishes. And the other 20 or so guys would be like, all right.
That's some shit and you so go tell like, the lead about. That's where you go snitching.
Like, you don't want to be with him. He doesn't wash dishes.
You can't trust that's someone who doesn't wash dishes.
Hannah, I know you're looking for a husband. I got to tell you about these guys. They think they're living in a frat house
that's
right
now. That's
something
you have to know.
It is, though. It's actually real.
You have to know that.
Oh, I'm like, I don't care if you are coming in, you have a girlfriend. That's fine. We can work that out. But if you're a slob and you don't wash dishes, that's going to be a pass for me.
Facts. I got
to
know.
I mean, imagine getting engaged to someone and you like...
This is why I have to...
Oh, no, go. I think the Zoom's kind of being funky.
No, I'm listening.
Jeez. It's like I keep accidentally talking over you. Broads, I'm not doing this on purpose. No, I was just thinking, like, imagine if you get engaged to someone and you, like, go back to their apartment after getting fucking engaged to them after, like, 6-8 weeks on the show, whatever, and they live in, like, a just, they have, like, 4 roommates. It's, like, a 3-bedroom house and just the bathroom, you know? There's, like, just... Like hair everywhere and
just
scum.
A nightmare.
Like, imagine that. Ugh.
You know what they should do? Like, instead of, well, in addition to a hometown date, they should be like, we're going to go to your house, like your personal residence.
Absolutely.
And open, like, and just see what life looks like for that person.
It should be a requirement.
Yeah. And then we'll see how all these personal trainers are really living, you know?
Personal trainers. Let's see how you're living.
Entrepreneurs. That's my favorite.
Let's see
one.
How you're living.
The entrepreneurs.
I know. Oh, well, man. Mike, thank you so much. I mean, I can't believe that we finally got to talk with you and we could talk. I mean, I could talk with you for hours, hours and hours.
You'll have to come back on.
You'll have to come back on. You'll have to recap.
I would love.
Please come on and recap an episode with us from this upcoming season.
Yes. Or on Matt.
We'll do.
Yeah.
We'll do. On Matt. We'll make it happen.
All right.
We'll 100% make it happen.
Well, plug away again and the book, all of it.
Anything else?
Making the Love You Want. I think it's the dopest title ever.
I do like it.
Making the Love You Want.
It also sounds like an album title.
Album title, Making the Love You Want.
It sounds like D'Angelo.
D'Angelo. I'm going to put D-Voice on. What the hell am I doing?
During the audiobook. When you record the audiobook, you know?
Yes. Making the Love You Want, October 2nd, available everywhere on Amazon.com or MikeJohnsonSmile.com.
Ugh, Mike.
There we go.
Broads, get on it. Love you, Mike. Broads.
And with that,
we'll chat soon.
Chat soon.